Well, good morning, good folk, and greetings in our Savior's name. There's some in our congregation this morning who will know the words, be prepared. Now, if you've ever been involved with the Boy Scouts or the Girl Guides, you will know that this is their motto. In 1907, Lord Robert Baden-Powell, he had his first camp on the island of Brownsea in England. And that was the beginning of the Boy Scout movement, and then some years later, the Girl Guides began. And so Baden-Powell, he's often referred to as that, it was a hyphenated surname, BP, and whether it was by coincidence or not, he came up with a motto, which is be prepared, BP. So on one occasion, he was asked, well, when you say be prepared for what? And he stopped and thought, and he said, be prepared for any old thing. Well, that's really important. It was not only important for scouts and guides and for anybody else, for people in general, to be prepared for what's coming, what's ahead, and what is ahead. And for us as believers in Jesus Christ, there is a mighty move of God's Holy Spirit going to happen within this earth, a mighty move of God, and it is coming. It is not here yet. It hasn't happened, but it is going to happen. This morning and next week, the Lord willing, I'm going to be teaching this subject so that we can be prepared. Now, I know for some, this would be old news. We've heard it before. In fact, I try and preach on this two or three times a year. There may be others, however, for whom this is not old news, but rather new news. But it is important for every believer everywhere to hear the news, to understand it, and know what is ahead, so that we indeed can be prepared not only for ourselves, but also for our families, our friends, and others with whom we come in contact. So we're going to read our scripture verse this morning, which is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning to read at verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning to read at verse number 13, let us hear the word of God. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. Now let me digress for a moment. When Paul refers to those who fall asleep, he's talking about those who have died in the Lord, those who knew Jesus, accepted Jesus as Savior, and then their physical body is dead, their spiritual body has gone on to be with the Lord. So let me begin again. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so that we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You'll note the words that says, encourage each other with this word. Now, I know in the outline that I'm going to show to you in a few moments that there will be people who have a slightly different opinion. Others will have a larger difference of opinion. But nonetheless, this is what I believe the Scripture teaches, and I believe it to be absolute fact, and it is coming before us. From this letter, Paul is writing to the believers in the city of Thessalonica. There are seven important truths that we can find out about this mighty upcoming move of God, a move that you and I need to be prepared for. Dr. David Jeremiah, a few years ago, wrote a book called The Book of Signs, S-I-G-N-S, The Book of Signs. And so I've liberally taken from what he has written and used the signs that he has talked about, but I have added, of course, my own to this. I'm deeply grateful to Dr. David Jeremiah. He preaches a wonderful message. He teaches the Word of God, and he preaches. And perhaps you see him on television from time to time. Highly recommended. A great preacher of God's Word. We're going to look at seven truths this morning. Well, not all seven. Actually, we're only going to look at three of the seven this morning, and then we'll look at four, the last four, next week, the Lord willing. We're going to be talking about what is commonly referred to as the rapture. No, the word rapture does not appear in Scripture, but the word rapture in terms of concept clearly is there. In fact, we discover that in both Latin and in Greek, this word appears, from which we get our English translation. The word in Latin is rapio, which means to seize or to snatch away. And the word in Greek is a little different, and it is harpazo, which also means to snatch or to lift. And for us, in reading Paul's letter to the believers in Thessalonica, there are a couple of things that we need to keep in mind. Number one, there is a mighty move of Almighty God going to take place soon. Now, Paul and the disciples and the believers in the early church, they thought it was going to happen at any time. Now, it's been 2,000 years since that time, but believe me, it is going to happen, because even now we are seeing signs all around us that are pointing to our blessed Savior's return. So it's a mighty move of God on earth, and it will be the snatching away, using either the Greek or the Latin term, the English term, rapture, the snatching away of every believer, past, present, and future, who will be rejoined. Now, their spirit is in heaven with the Lord, and they'll be rejoined with their body, a new body made to last for all eternity. That's going to happen at the rapture. You've heard me preach before on the word carta, C-A-R-T-A. I'll come back to that in a moment, but first of all, could we see our first slide, please? Now, this is to give you an idea as to the timetable. Again, I've used this slide before, but in order for us to understand it, let me explain it. On the far left, you will see that we are in the church age. That age is listed since the day of Pentecost until the day of the rapture. We are still in the church age. I believe it is drawing to a close, but we are in it. And then you'll see the yellow section there. There's the tribulation period. It's going to last about 7 years. There's the lesser tribulation, the mid-tribulation, and the greater tribulation. At the end of the tribulation period comes a great battle, often referred to as the Battle of Armageddon. Now, that's when everybody the world over is against Israel and Jerusalem and the Jews, and then if it was allowed to continue, the world would destroy itself. But at that point, Jesus is going to come back to earth, and he is going to come back with all of his host of heaven. Now, you look again at that chart. You'll see on the far left, there's an arrow going up. The arrow going up is when the rapture occurs, at the end of the church age. At the end of the yellow bar, you will see an arrow coming down, and that's when Jesus is going to return with the host of heaven. That includes every believer who's gone up to be with him at the beginning of the tribulation, before it begins. And then we notice that following the Battle of Armageddon, we have Christ's reign, which is going to last for 1,000 years, and at the end of that, a new creation. The letter N is missing, but a new creation. So that's the outline of activities. We are in the church age. Then comes the rapture. Sometime after the rapture comes the tribulation. After the tribulation, at the end of it, Jesus returns with us, establishes his kingdom here on earth, the 1,000-year reign, and then at the end of that, we have a new creation. New heaven, new Jerusalem, new earth. It's beyond my comprehension. But this is the way Scripture outlines it. Now then, could we show the second slide, please? I've used this word over the years. I use cart to carta to carta 1000. Now, what does it mean? C-A-R-T-A. C stands for church. A for age. R for the rapture. T for the tribulation. A for Armageddon. And 1000 for the millennial reign of Jesus here on earth. If we sort of keep it in mind, way back in 1215, on June the 15th, King John was responsible for the Magna Carta being introduced in England. And the Magna Carta, in a nutshell, simply means that the sovereign came under the law. The sovereign was not above the law, he came under the law. There were some amendments that took place. Magna means great or greater. The greater charter is what it's all about. This was a wonderful item for democracy in the world and for the position of sovereigns. However, I could call this the Magna Carta, the Great Carta 1000, because it is coming. It hasn't happened yet, but it is coming. Now a final slide, please. This one will be a little smaller, a little perhaps difficult to see, but I want you to look on your left and you'll see the cross. And then after the cross is the current church age. There's a little church building up there. And then you'll notice at the end of the church age comes the rapture. And all true believers now are in heaven with Jesus for the period of the tribulation going on down here on earth. And then there is the tribulation period, and that king-like figure that is there represents none other than the Antichrist. And then at the end is the second coming. We must not confuse Jesus coming back in the clouds to take every believer up to be with him with the second coming. The second coming comes at the end of the tribulation period. And then there is the millennium, that is the 1,000-year reign of Christ. You will notice there a little symbol. You can't see it very clearly. I apologize that it's so small. But the little symbol is a lion and a lamb laying in between the paws of the lion. Now, you know that would not happen today. So during the millennial reign of Christ, everything is going to change. Even the predators on this earth are no longer going to be seeking out their prey. That's what the scripture tells us. That'll be during the millennial reign of Christ. This world has a lot to go through between now and then. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what's going to happen during the reign of Jesus. That is what's going to happen during his 1,000-year reign and then ultimately in the new creation. This is a praise God item. This is not a message where we get discouraged. It is a message where we become encouraged because we belong to the King. We have the royal blood of heaven flowing through our veins because we have accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now, there's something we need to listen to about the coming rapture. The rapture is this. There are four steps. The Lord himself will come down. Now, the Lord is Jesus. The Lord himself will come down. There will be a loud command. There will be the voice of the archangel. And there will be the trumpet call of God. Now, personally, I believe that every single believer will hear the voice, hear the trumpet call, hear all of those things, will see the Lord, and will be taken up to be with him. But I believe unbelievers will not hear the voice, will not see us leave, will not hear the trumpet call, but they will experience it. They will experience it because all of a sudden, in the twinkling of an eye, every believer the world over will have left the earth and be in glory with Jesus, and only those who are unbelievers will be left behind. And they'll be here on this earth. They will look and they will see, my goodness, my wife has left, my husband has left, my children have gone, their neighbors have gone, somebody over there is gone, nobody in that house is gone. It all depends upon our trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We put our trust in him, we belong to him, and we'll be taken up to be with him when that time comes. So this morning there are three truths for us to look at. Three truths. The rapture is a signless, S-I-G-N-L-E-S-S, a signless event. It is a surprise event, and it is a sudden event. Signless, surprise, and sudden. Now in Matthew's gospel, and this takes careful reading, in chapters 24 and 25, we learn about the glorious appearing of Jesus, or the second coming of Jesus. And Jesus referred to this. It's the second coming. It's after the tribulation. It is not the rapture. The rapture happens about 7 years prior to the second coming of Jesus. The second coming appears 7 years after the rapture. And in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is talking about the second coming, not about the rapture. And in this, we notice that there are signs that point to his second coming. What are these signs? There's deception. There are wars and rumors of wars. There's famine, pestilences, and earthquakes. Now, all of those are signs pointing to the second coming. But as you and I look over the world today, we see that these signs are all about us. They are starting out and they are going to increase and increase. They're really going to get bad during the tribulation period. However, in the meantime, you and I are looking at these signs. For instance, in this day and age in which you and I live, there's a great deal of deception going on. There's deception by our governments, deception by our news broadcasters. It's really difficult to know what the absolute truth of any situation is. What is going on? We hear one side and we hear another side. I think of the whole COVID situation, for example. There are those who believe everybody should be vaccinated. There are those who believe that nobody should be vaccinated. And it's very difficult to get the truth of the matter, whether or not the vaccination is actually good for you or whether it isn't. That's just one example. There are many examples of how there is deception going on in the earth today. We are also living in an age where good is called evil and evil is called good. Just to look at the television, we can see that there are things being portrayed on television today that are pure evil, and yet they're coming across as being the right thing and the good thing. We don't believe it, but nonetheless, it's happening in our day. We also hear about wars and rumors of wars. Now, we've heard about this war in Ukraine. It's been going on. And then we hear of wars otherwhere. Otherwise, we do not know what the leader of North Korea is going to do. But he's firing all these missiles up in the air for some reason. Is he going to attack South Korea? Is he going to attack other parts of the world? Who knows? These things we're not sure of. These are happening with us today. And there are rumors of wars. What's China going to do? What more is Russia going to undertake? Who's going to combat these people? Will it be the United States? Will it be the European Union? Will it be all of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization? We don't know, but we are in a day when there are wars and there are rumors of wars, and I believe that all of these are causing us to be alert to the fact that soon the rapture is going to occur, and soon after that, the second coming is going to come. Also, we are aware of various pestilences that are going on the earth. I don't know whether COVID is an actual pestilence or not. I think that it is, but it's getting worse. They tell us that another wave or two is coming back. And then I just read an article about polio being reintroduced to a number of countries throughout the world. Are these pestilences? My opinion is, yes, they are pestilences. And humankind will do something to alleviate the world of some of these. But when all is said and done, particularly during the tribulation period, there's going to be pestilence after pestilence, earthquake after earthquake, war and rumor after war, and deception going on during the entire period of time. You and I need to be prepared. Be prepared so that we can prepare our families, so they will not buy into the message that the Antichrist is going to deliver when that time comes. That is, if they're unbelievers and they're going to be left behind. What does all this mean? It means that without any sign or without any warning, the rapture could occur. We know when the second coming is coming, 7 years later, but the rapture could occur. So you and I need to live our life as though that rapture could occur at any moment. Trumpet sound, waiting to hear the trumpet sound. Paul, in writing to his colleague Titus, he said, "Always be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." That's the kind of life we're to live. We're to live that kind. The rapture is a signless event. There are signs for the second coming, but there are no signs for the rapture. So the rapture is, and remember that word means snatching away, a rapture is a signless event. It is also a surprise event. Paul, in writing in his first letter to the Thessalonians, he said, "Now, brothers, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you," excuse me, "for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." It's going to come unexpectedly. We don't expect thieves, but they come unexpectedly. Jesus is going to come unexpectedly, and it says in the night. Now, whether it's like a thief in the night, whether it's morning, noon, or night, I don't know. But some point, that trumpet is going to sound, every believer is going to hear, and we're going to be taken up to be with the Lord. Now, if you've ever heard of someone, or if you've ever read what someone has said, that they know the day, the year, the month, and the day, and the hour in which Jesus is going to return in the rapture, don't listen to them. They do not know. They may be leading many people, but they do not know. There have been many instances, which I will not enumerate now, many instances where people have said, Jesus is going to return on this day, at this hour, and this place, and people have sold their homes and gone up on the mountainside waiting for the rapture, and it did not occur. The reason why I say don't listen to these people is because Jesus said, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. God the Father knows when that command is going to be given. And Jesus' ear will be attuned to the command. And Jesus will return at the command of his Father to take all of his believers to be home with him. The Bible does not give us specific information as to the date of the Lord's return. And you might ask the reason why. It's because by not knowing, we therefore are in a position of always anticipating that this event could occur at any moment. In fact, it could occur before we leave this building today. It would be a praise God item if you're a believer. I was talking to a couple this past week. They're getting advanced in years, and as I was talking to them, they pray every night that the rapture would occur. They're ready, they're waiting, they're looking forward to the rapture. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. One of the early church fathers by the name of Saint, call him Saint now, Augustine, Saint Augustine said, the last day is hidden that every day may be regarded. The last day is hidden so that every day may be regarded. And that's a message for you and for me. It's a message for you and for me because we need to regard every day as the day in which the Lord could return. I've looked at the sunrise over these past number of weeks, and some of them are absolutely magnificent. And I ask myself the question, Lord, is this the day? Are you coming today? What a glory it will be. The rapture is a signless event. It is a surprise event, although we're looking forward, and it will be a sudden event. Signless, surprise, and sudden. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he's talking about the same subject, and he says that this will happen in the twinkling of an eye. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the twinkling of an eye is. It's not a blink. A blink of an eye is pretty fast, but a twinkling of an eye seems to indicate that it's even faster. Now, what could be faster than a blink of an eye? A blink is quick, but it's coming in the twinkling of an eye. I do know, so we are told by the scientific community, that light travels at 186,000 miles per second, and this light comes toward us. I believe that God, our Creator, is faster than any light that we could think of, is faster than anything that's going on. So I suspect that a twinkling of an eye is even faster than the speed of light that comes, and it's going to happen instantaneously. It's not something that we will have a warning, and therefore we're going to get prepared because the rapture is coming. No, we need to be ready all the time. We need to be prepared for the rapture coming, because it is going to happen. You need to keep your ear open to the sound of that coming trumpet. I know that the rapture is almost an incomprehensible event. It's something that we can think about. It sounds almost like something of science fiction. We just don't know how it's going to happen. We've been used to the speed of computers over these past 10 or 20 years. They picked up speed phenomenally over this period of time. Now, the old dial-up that we used to have, we painstakingly waited for the thing to kick in. And now it comes on instantaneously, and if there's a hold-up, we get exercised because we have to wait a little bit longer. It's amazing, really, what's going on in our world. God, our Creator, is faster than any computer that ever existed. He has more knowledge than any computer could ever have. He is all knowledgeable, all powerful. He's everywhere present. This is the Lord God whom we serve, represented by none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, I have some questions for you. Questions before we gather around the communion table. The communion table is important to us because it reminds us of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Not only who he is, but what he did for us. And he paid the price on the cross for you and for me. He paid for all our sins, past, present, and future. Praise be to God. And because he's done this, we remember it. We could remember this every time we gather. We have chosen to remember this the first Sunday of every month, and occasionally otherwise. But this is a time when we remember our relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So here's some questions. Are you ready for the rapture? Remember this, it is signless, it's a surprise, and it's sudden. It could come at any moment. Second question, are you looking forward to this momentous event? When it happens, the world will never be the same. Think about your own family. Are there members of your family who do not put their trust in Jesus? Who do not put their trust in Jesus? When you go, they're going to be left behind. You need to witness to them. We need to witness to each other. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to reach out and witness to others so that they too will put their trust in Jesus. And they too will not be left behind. And they too will not have to go through the tribulation. And the third question, do you know that if that trumpet should sound in the next 5 minutes, that you would be raptured out? You would be snatched away. You'd be up with Jesus instantaneously, faster than the speed of light. Do you know that deep in your heart? If you do not know, I'm going to invite you to give your life to Jesus today. I'm going to invite you to say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And you're the only one who can be my Savior. Please forgive me for my sin. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin, all of it. I now invite you to come into my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be. From now on, I want to put all of my trust, all of my hope in you, Lord Jesus. I accept you as my Savior and Lord. I want you to hear these words of Jesus. He said this, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Think about the world today. There are millions of people going to destruction, eternal destruction, in a place called hell, because that gate is wide. Many are going in. But then Jesus said, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I don't know how many a few is, but I know that many will not find it. I pray that we are all part of the few, that we have entered that narrow gate. I pray that we know what our eternity is with Christ. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we praise you and we thank you for all that you give us in your word and for you teach the fact that you teach us that you are returning one of these days and that day is drawing closer and closer. Lord Jesus, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will touch every person that's here this morning and that we will commit or recommit our lives to serving you, that we will commit or recommit putting our trust in you as our Savior and Lord. And therefore, we will know that when that day comes, when that trumpet sounds, we will hear it and we will be home with you forever and ever. Amen.